Welcome to the Much Chats podcast. This is the podcast with lots of banter and interesting discussions. We are two young professional urban planners finding our way around this thing called life.
Discussing anything from politics to new music, clothes, cars and love.
Vumi and Mzed live in Cape Town, South Africa and enjoy the finer things in life. Yep. This is your boy MZ.
And your boy Vumi.
And this is the Much Chats podcast.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Another one.
Yeah, another episode.
Yeah, unfortunately, no feature this week.
Did you say fortunately?
Unfortunately. I said unfortunately. Yeah, you hear all sorts of things, man.
Nah, you said fortunately.
No, you hear what you want to hear.
Not really. Mm-mm. I hear what was said, actually.
No, I said unfortunately. Unfortunately, no feature. We'll get back on that probably next week or the week after. We'll try and see.
Yeah, yeah. But we're working on that one.
Yeah, it's another week. It's been a very warm week this week.
I mean, as we are recording right now, it's actually the Federer versus Anderson.
What does that have to do with it being a warm week?
Oh, no, I disregarded everything you had said.
Yeah, it's because you're a fiend, that's why.
But it actually was a warm week. But in any case, right now, yeah, Federer and Anderson are going on. So by the end of this podcast, we'll have a winner.
Just know his attention is not 100% right now.
No, it's very much 100%. It's in the background.
He's got the split screen there.
It's on the screens. It's on the LCD.
Yeah, in the studio.
In the studio. So
in the studio.
Yeah, it's okay. So it's all right.
But yeah, major thing this week.
We're popped.
This Thailand thing, man. We missed out on it last week.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up.
Because
No. It's nothing like that. No, it's nothing like that. Because I actually know nothing about the beginning. I just remember hearing that, okay, these Thai football team are stuck in a cave.
Yeah,
they need to be rescued.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning story I don't know anything about. I know the end, that they all got saved.
Yeah.
I think there maybe might have been one casualty, which was one of the divers. So yeah, shout out to the divers who got those kids out. But on a real, what were those kids doing down there?
All right, so these kids were on a hike, right? Mm. And they went missing on the 23rd of June, right? So they ventured into this cave.
All of them.
Yes.
So what was this part of? Was this it's just a nice little hike? Was it a guided tour? So it wasn't guided. They just went on their own way.
Yeah, so they went on a hike. So they went into this cave. So apparently this cave is a thing to do, to go and watch, you know, to go and see this cave. And I mean, obviously,
so it is a tourist attraction of sorts.
No, yeah, of sorts. So these kids, basically, they went in and ventured a bit too far. And
so they were going alone, or were they going with a coach?
They were with the coach.
Okay.
So the these kids are 12.
Took them.
These kids are 11-year-old, 12, 13-year-old, and their coach is 25.
So the coach took them in there.
Calm down. Let's get to the meat of the story.
That's the meat of the story.
So yeah, so these guys they got into this cave, because it's monsoon season in Thailand now. So what happened?
On top of that,
yeah.
Okay.
So then flooding occurred. And the cave is pretty narrow, so the waters kept on rushing in, right? So these kids and their coach, they had to go deeper and deeper into the cave in order to avoid the rising water
levels. Yeah.
Yeah. So they kept on going deeper and deeper and deeper to save themselves from drowning, because most of them couldn't swim properly, and obviously from panic and stuff. And they literally ended up 700 meters into the cave on a ledge. It was a cool little diagram the economist showed. So they ended up there. So then that's when they got lost on the 23rd of June. And then what happened is the Royal Thai Navy SEALs, former Navy SEALs team went out to look for them.
And when did they do that?
They did that.
Now, how did they find out that they were missing? That's what I want to know. Did they not show up for something and then were like, oh, where are these guys?
Well, yeah, obviously someone was expecting them back that day and they didn't come back. So,
okay,
and then the divers eventually found them, like 700 meters into this. So these divers, like narrow little channels, apparently it's quite hectic. So they were found, and then now the logistics of getting them out, that's where the hard stuff began.
Yeah.
Because obviously diving with oxygen tanks and masks, and it's not the easiest thing. You know, you have to go through training, and it's not everyone's thing. Now, yeah. Having 11-year-olds now do that kind of thing, it's quite a bit taxing. Also, since they've been missing for so long, like, right? They've been missing since the 23rd of June.
They're frail.
They were in there for 2 weeks, fam. So...
That's a long time.
In the darkness now.
It was dark, dark.
Yeah,
dark.
I was cave, dog.
But they had, like, lights and stuff. They kept on showing videos of them and stuff. Like,
but that was when the divers found them.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they'd been missing for, like... for how long had they been missing? I can't recall how long they'd been missing, but they'd been missing for a while. So then the logistics started. So what they basically had to do was bring out the boys, like, 4x4, and they had to, like, install this rope going from the entrance of the cave all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And then they had to put oxygen tanks all along the way, because it was literally taking them, like, 4 hours
to get
in and out. So that's where one of the Navy SEALs died, because he ran out of oxygen. Ironically, he was setting up the oxygen tanks along the route, and he ran out of oxygen. I don't know exactly how that went out. They haven't released details, apparently.
I saw a couple of memes, because, you know, people were saying that he ran out of oxygen because he gave all his oxygen to the kids.
No, I don't think that's the case. Because kids weren't coming out yet. They were setting up the whole operation.
And that's what sounds plausible for me. But what was saying on social media, everyone was like, he died because he gave all the oxygen to save these
kids. He could have. But I think just something went wrong there.
Yeah, something clearly went wrong.
They all finally made it out. Took like a week. Well, took like 3 or 4 days to get them all out. But now they're being quarantined in a Thai hospital there, because they might have an infectious disease known as bat lung or something. Like, because from bat droppings you get it, so then they need to be quarantined. Obviously, their immune systems are weak. But yeah, man, it's hectic.
Yeah,
bro. Reminds me of that whole Chile story. Remember the SA guys who went to rescue those miners in Chile? You don't remember?
I remember something.
Murray and Roberts, those guys went there. They made that little capsule thing.
Oh,
Because
I saw that there was a bit of Twitter chats with Elon Musk saying that he had, had a plan already of how to get these guys out using some submarine of sorts.
Yeah, he made like a mini submarine or something.
Yeah, and he was showing whatever, and then apparently he got upset that they didn't use it because it could have saved, there could have been no casualties or something like that. And then people were like, oh, this guy's just mansplaining, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, hey, dog.
Apparently, like, it wasn't, from what I've seen, like, I didn't give too much attention to that thing. But from what I read, apparently it wasn't, like, feasible for the application. They were like, it's not really going to work for this case.
But neither way, man, glad that those kids got out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But the moral of the story is that, just don't go hiking where you don't know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. In
monsoon season, I mean...
Those kids are celebrities now, so...
What do you mean the celebrity, dog?
Because someone asked the question.
I wouldn't be able to point out those kids in the lineup, dog.
Yeah, many people could.
I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, look, I haven't been following it like that, so I've
just been seeing it, that it's always been in the news, and I think it's a great story because it ended off great for the kids, you know? Like, they all survived.
Yeah.
So, which is... No, that's always a great story.
It's always a great story, but... I thought it was just amazing, you know? How do you even start to plan a mission like that, yeah? How do you, like, say, okay, now we're going to put this rope there, we're going to attach oxygen tanks?
But I think those guys are trained for, though, homie. Like, those deep divers.
Yeah, well,
they're not trained for that specific.
For the cave, yeah.
But they train to think around ways of, you know, adequately. That's what in most professions, I mean, I don't want to say... every profession, but like in most professions you are sort of trained in order to be able to deal with the toughest cases at points.
You're
gonna have to find a way, you have to rely on your training, whatever it is that you do,
no doubt.
Yeah, man. It's like once you step into the ring, your opponent, you don't know your opponent like that, but you got to trust your training, right?
Exactly.
And
no,
then
that's true.
You can overcome. So I feel like, yeah, man. Anyway, a good outcome, as long as the outcome is
positive,
then all as well, you know? Yeah, man.
But moving on. Interesting. Moving on.
Did you hear that Beyonce and many more are coming for the Global Citizen concert in celebration of Rolly Rose's centenary?
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I think the aim is to end poverty or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But did you hear about that? She's coming.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, beloved?
I know you're very excited, judging by your face right now.
I'm really not excited. You know, and I'll tell you why.
But wait, let me tell you how I feel.
All right, tell me.
I'm indifferent, actually. I'm very indifferent about the whole thing.
The whole Global Citizen thing in general? Or?
Well, I'm not indifferent about Rory Rose centenary, even though I kind of am, because, like, you know, these things of, you know, these remembering things. I'm like, yeah, weird, it's all nice and whatever, but, like, it's not going to bring the man back, or he's not going
to... I don't think that's what they're trying to do, but
yeah, but I know, like, a lot of these things, like, in poverty, yes, they're good, they're fine, but at the end of the day, they're being backed by a lot of companies and individuals who perpetuate poverty. But anyway... Besides the point. I don't want to sound cynical.
But you are. But it's fine.
No, it's okay to be cynical. I'm just like, I'd rather have other ways of addressing poverty. But it's okay. So I'm indifferent because, one, I'm not a big fan of Beyonce. I'm not a big fan of Jay-Z.
That's recorded. And so
there's evidence there. Mm-hmm. But so I feel that obviously they're using the star power here to get people to attend. And from what I heard, there's going to be 13,000 tickets for sale and 33,000 tickets you have to earn by doing good deed acts of goodwill. Sorry.
Yeah. Something that would help in the pursuit of eradicating poverty.
Exactly. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, look, I signed up for that thing. You know, the reason why I signed up for that thing is not because it's not because I just want to win a free ticket, but I want to see. No, allow me.
Okay.
I want to see actually what it is they feel is a deserving thing, you know, for getting a ticket.
You're spinning this so well, though.
No, and because I want to, and the thing is, I want to see at to what level, just in terms of humanity, to what level are we willing to do goodwill, but for reward. Just, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So in other words, everyone's jumping on
so
this.
The motive.
Yeah, dog. Yeah. I mean, obviously the premises of it is that, you know, they want people to do good, so they're going to entice them with Beyonce and Jay-Z and many more. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to see what they're actually going to ask to do or whatever it is, and how you have to do it. You have to record it, put it on the gram or what? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm just interested to see that. And just also that whole thing about people being fake, fake helping, like,
yeah,
you're helping for yourself, actually,
like what I'm interested to see what the scandals are going to be.
God's plan all over again, dog.
Oh my goodness,
it's God's plan video all over again. I'm just
man,
like,
it's not, they didn't promise Drizzy a ticket.
I know, but you know what I'm trying to say, like, people will be doing stuff for because there's something in it for them.
Oh, of course. But all these acts of charity, like, even if you're not, if it's something that you're not, I mean, even Rory Rose himself, he was doing it for himself in the sense that it made him feel good to help children and to help the country.
That's different.
He felt good.
Remember, that's different.
By fighting for freedom.
No, but that's different.
So at the end of the day, it's like a philosophical discussion. We're all self-serving.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, he was less self-serving because he went to jail and he didn't give up in many opportunities that he could have, just like many, many, many other freedom fighters. But at the end of the day, you have your own, like, it's self-motivating as well. Unless you die, right?
Yeah.
Unless they give you a choice, it's like betray the struggle or die. Then that person was truly selfless.
Yeah.
But it's also complicated because they were then appeasing their own wish to give themselves for the cause, which is, again, I mean, it gets all convoluted.
Yeah, it does get convoluted. But the thing is, yeah, man, I'm just... Yeah, I think I'm just very, very cynical about it, actually. But and also, just damn Beyonce, man. She's only going to come here because it's a charity gig for Rory Rolls. Like... Nah, damn you, man! You don't think we can fit the quota for your ticket sales or something?
Well, I don't know, man. I think that, like, I mean, really, we should probably ask the questions of our own promoters, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who attract talent, right? So I think we should be asking the big questions of big concerts.
But they, because it's not like they Beyonce doesn't know that she's got hella fans in South Africa. She's not like she doesn't know that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So the fact that it's not like she doesn't know that, but a lot of these shows aren't decided by the artists themselves, but the artist team and the promoters in the country where... So
you're telling me that Beyonce probably has never been like, hey, I'm looking to come to Africa. Anyone want to promote? You tell me she's never done that? Fuck out of here, man.
I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
I think she's just chosen not to because she doesn't think the dollar will do well in Africa. She doesn't think she'll get much out of it. Because a lot of the artists actually do put their prices down a bit so that, you know, we can afford it. Because we're not out here playing dollars, right?
Yeah.
So...
But, I look...
And we saw how the whole Nicki Minaj thing failed.
But look, that was a corrupt thing in the beginning. I doubt that she was even contacted for that thing.
She was, though. She got like 10 million rand for it. 100K or something.
Yeah, look. That was a mess.
Or, yeah.
But then that was a dodgy dealing. I mean, but the thing is that I just think that we shouldn't underestimate the influence of in-country promoters to attract this kind of talent. And we have to ask the questions, because Eminem came here.
He did, dog, but he came here when his career was already like...
Yeah, but I mean, even...
No, I mean, I fucked with Eminem. I really enjoyed him. But would you have not been more excited if he had came in his prime?
Yeah, but in his prime, I was in high school and listening to his music was... I mean, my mom bought me the album, but it was frowned upon.
By who?
By people in general. But anyway, what I'm saying...
those people.
Yeah, but the thing is, do you think the market existed in SA at that time? It didn't.
I think it did.
But you wouldn't have been able to go. You were in high school.
Nah, I would have been able to go.
You wouldn't have been able to go. It would be no under 18 or some shit.
Nah, there would be, dog. There's definitely under 18s up in Eminem's concerts, dog.
Eh, well, it was the... I don't know. I was in VIP, so...
Dog, most... Okay, yeah, okay, go. Most of people who listened to Eminem were too young to listen to his shit anyway. That's what he talked about in his albums.
Like, yeah, definitely, no. So, but okay, but your whole thing of Eminem coming... Like,
okay,
I don't think you would have come.
First of all, you brought
yeah,
that
yeah, no,
thing.
I'm saying, but
what I'm trying to say is
during his prime.
What I'm trying to say is, like, who people who came through here, like, they didn't come through here like in their prime. Like they came, like I want.
Kendrick
lie.
Came in his. In fact, Kendrick came on his come up.
Yeah, but
he, and we laid him down hard.
Yeah, he came up on his come up.
We laid him down hard, but actually he let us down because he decided to go to Jay-Z and then move the show to a later date here in SA. Yeah, so we both let each other down there, but he let us down more than we let him down. But anyway,
and then, so like, look, man, I just want Beyonce to announce a tour and then have South Africa on there. That's all I'm asking for as part of your tour. But I'm actually glad
we
that
could
she's
say
not
this
coming. With this album, she can miss me. I'm not gonna lie, this album was Jay-Z. It's not for us. Have you listened to that thing?
No, I don't listen.
I don't resonate with that thing at all. And you won't catch me listening to that thing. I won't ever choose it.
That's shocking.
How's that shocking, fam?
For you,
fam, I'm not. I don't need to hear a collab album between Jay-Z and Beyonce.
But like, you're like Bayhive, bruh.
Dog,
you
Bay,
are Bay,
not Bay J Hive, man.
Not Bay J Hive.
Like, the fuck? I don't need to listen to Jay-Z in every track of Beyonce's. Like, them talking about their love and this, we struggling, blah. I get it. It's not for me. It's probably for those middle-aged people who have been married for a while or, like, you know, maybe like 10 years or less
been
than that.
Been through a couple of affairs.
Or not, you know, but it's just things that they're just talking stuff that's relevant to them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel it like that. And that's okay, but yeah. I'm just going to say it, though, you know?
Yeah, but there's other artists coming as well.
Yeah, like I heard Usher, Wizkid.
Yeah.
At Casper Nyovest.
But I mean, look, the thing is, I insist that it is also up to our local promoters.
Sure.
To do it. Because the thing is, U2 has come here. Linkin Park has come here.
Okay, so what pattern are we seeing here, Vumi?
Yeah, of course it's Reds. But
that's what I'm saying, though.
But the thing is, yeah, but the, you see, that's why I'm saying it's our own promoters. Maybe it's the own myopic view of promoters of black music or entertainment.
Maybe they don't feel that they'll get enough of a, they'll write, you know, yeah, because the thing is, they'll say, yeah, if we get Beyonce, yeah, we'll just put it in the Velodrome. But then she's too big for the Velodrome, so like, nah, we won't sell enough tickets, so they don't even try it, you know?
Yeah, but so I mean, it would be.
Why isn't John Legend in the Cape Town Stadium?
Because he's not that big.
He is that big.
No,
it's just that. No. Listen to what I'm saying. He is that big. It's just that it's better for his type of music to be in a more intimate setting. That's what it is.
And also, he's not that big.
Okay.
He's not stadium big, dog.
Alright, fine.
He's not stadium big.
Okay, fine. You have your opinion. I have mine.
He's not stadium big. Come on now.
He is stadium big.
He's big in the sense that he's a very talented musician. He's got an amazing voice and he makes good music. But he's not a pop star. Is he a pop star?
Listen to what I'm saying. I think if he can, for one night, he can fill up a stadium. Think about how many shows he's done when he's come. Like about four or five, right? Four or five nights in South Africa. That could easily fill up a stadium. All those people, actually.
But it wouldn't... Okay, but then I'll go back to your point about his music requiring a more intimate setting.
Yeah. I mean, it's best for him to be in a more intimate setting anyway. Yeah,
so you basically just answered your question. Anyway.
I didn't have a question, actually.
But, yeah. And on to some rather unfortunate news. There was a plane crash in Pretoria, close to Vanderbrum Airport. What's going on? Is he losing?
Yeah, I think he lost.
Oh, did he lose? Ah, shit.
No, Federer lost.
Oh. Weren't you supporting the SA guy?
No, I wasn't.
Oh.
But, yeah, shout out to the SA guy, Kevin Anderson. He just went through to the semifinals of Wimbledon. He's the first South African to ever do it. He was the first to get to this quarterfinals in like 24, 26 years or something. Mm. And now he's the first ever to get into the semifinals.
Amazing. So,
yeah, shout out to him, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but as I was saying.
Yeah. Go on.
There was a plane crash in Pretoria. An old vintage aircraft.
I heard about this. Used
as a charter crashed.
Casualty, yeah.
Two now.
What was it, two?
Two deaths, two fatalities, 18 injuries.
Yes.
Unfortunately. So it had an engine failure after takeoff and then clipped a factory building and then went down just next to the airport. Yeah, it's hectic.
Yeah, I heard it was the pilot who was one of the people that passed away.
Oh, is it? I didn't know which people.
Yeah, at the time when I heard it, when it was only one death, it was I think it was a co-pilot or whatever. What do you call it?
Yeah. Co-pilot.
No, but I think he was like a...
Second officer.
Probably something like
that. Okay. Yeah, man. But, you know, when I told my sister about it, she was like, why would you fly in a restored plane? Because it was an old plane. She's like, why would you fly in a restored... Why would you restore a plane? And then I'm like, why would you restore an old car? And it's like, it's not the same thing.
It's definitely not the same.
When that thing has the risk of dropping out of the sky.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it...
It did,
actually. Yeah, but I mean, look, it's an engine failure. They used to happen a lot on these prop planes. That's why we transitioned from piston engine turboprops to jet engines.
So that thing was a passenger thing?
It was a charter. Like a luxury charter, and it was actually flying to Holland. It was going to do, you know, that whole old-style 1930s hop from airport to airport, take like 2 weeks to take a week.
I do not know that old style.
Oh, yeah, man. That's how they used to do it in the 1940s and 30s.
No, I wasn't around then, so I didn't know that.
Well, surely you did some research into...
About that. About
long-haul air travel in the 20th
course,
century.
Of course, because everyone does, right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Damn you. Just be educated, dog. Just embrace the knowledge. But yeah, no, they used to take off, then land like two, three-hour flights, and then land, stay at hotels, take off again. Yeah, yeah. Very glamorous life.
Yeah, well, this is boring as fuck.
The trip would be a holiday in itself, despite the fact that you were going on holiday.
Until it crashes.
Yeah, they were very unreliable. That's the one thing. But yeah, shame. It's a shame about that. First passenger plane crash in a while in SA.
Yeah. Anyway, dog. Back to what we were talking about Beyonce and stuff.
What?
Listen to what I'm saying, dog. No. I just wanted to segue into the Durban July. Did you hear about the Durban July?
What was I supposed to hear? I saw someone wrote a Facebook article in quotation marks, which is just basically a long status about Durban July.
And what were they saying?
It was basically a woke critique of the whole thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Durban July. I don't know, maybe it's the people that I follow on Twitter and Instagram or something, but I don't see much of it as much as I do see of the Cape Town thing. The Cape Town Met or whatever.
The JMB. What is it called now? The Sun Met.
The Sun Met, yeah. Mm. So, I don't know. It just seemed more. It didn't seem like a racing thing. Like, it didn't seem like it was centered around racing, like horse racing, you know.
In fact, the first time I realized it was centered around horse racing was when I read that woke article on Facebook.
Wow. Yeah. I think it's the Vodacom Durban July or something, but the Durban July was just it's just something where people just go and groove and they just enjoy the nice times, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like a place where, in other words, you can just wear the same thing you're going to go wear in last weekend.
Yeah.
If you're going to some club or something, mm-hmm. and you just go wearing the same thing, it's not like a level up or a level or just something that changes. Like, yeah, you know, because for the Sun Met, people dress out and, you know, you can feel that there's a different energy.
Yeah.
There's big money being spent around here. Like, I don't know. I didn't hear anything about the race. I didn't see much fashion stuff being posted or whatever, because these events are largely fashion oriented.
Yeah.
And see none of that. And then obviously, from what I saw, the biggest news for me was the whole MT thing that was popping there.
Oh, was that there?
Yeah, I think that was there.
Oh my goodness!
So basically, for anyone who doesn't know, MT was performing with a bunch of his other chaps from Ambitious Entertainment or whatever. And the guy just looked really you know, under the influence of something.
Mm.
And one of his songs was playing. I can't remember what it was, but you could just see him. There's like videos all over. Mm-hmm. And you just see him that he was out of it. He was like saying a few words, and then he just looked down at the crowd, just like in a very somber. It was just the weirdest thing, dog.
Yeah.
And like you could see that he was just not there, you know, mentally. He was just there physically. And yeah, and then it happened. Like he was saying something, lifted his head, and his head was too heavy, and he fell back. And he fell back and got picked up. And I was just like, this guy is, like, this is just ridiculous. Like, fans should be so upset that they're, like, I don't understand the people around him, how they let him become, like, the thing is, you can be addicted to drugs and alcohol,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
But you know that it's time to work now. Let's work. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of functioning alcoholics and drug addicts that do it. He got bribed by Saudi or something. He got the lean, got the good lean. But like, and he was just a wreck, man. That guy had to be escorted by saps.
By cops. They lifted him off the stage, down into the crowd, and out of the venue.
Like, it just looked sif. I just didn't enjoy seeing what I saw, bro.
No, it was ridiculous.
Actually. And you should see the timeline. People were just like, guys, this guy's going through things, and he's having problems. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know this guy's having problems, first of all? You don't know this guy. You just see him like this. So anyone who you can see a guy is drugged up on the street, you don't say the same thing about him.
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Selective sympathy.
Selective sympathy, dog.
That's what it's called.
And like, are you telling me this guy has no people around him to be like, hey, dog, what does his manager say? What is his management? There's no way that guy doesn't have management. He works for Ambitious Entertainment. He has some sort of management. How do they not make sure that every gig that this guy goes to, sorry, every gig this guy goes to, he, you know, he performs properly.
Look,
you can be like sipped, you can be high or whatever, but know that you can handle that while you're working.
No, in a lot of these situations, man, these people are being taken advantage of. No one is looking out for their best interests. It's really a sad situation. Really. Like, they're seen as gravy trains, and sometimes you don't get a manager who's out for your best interest. But then again, I don't want to speculate on.
But also, why do we only apply that to artists and things like this? You know, like, no one will say that about that the odd lawyer who's working or whatever. Like, no one says, yeah, these guys are just taking advantage. No, do you know? But do you know what I'm saying?
No, because it's a thing about artists, because they have such flamboyant lifestyles.
They don't have agency, though. So they don't have agency.
No, they do.
Okay.
But because it's a situation where, as a professional artist, and generally the way the industry goes, is that you need to have someone to represent your best interests. Because there are very few artists out there who could possibly handle all the administrative things that need to go into having a music career.
Yeah, so they don't take any responsibility for that, for finding someone who can. That's all I'm
they
saying.
They do.
That's all I'm saying.
But
they should take
especially in hip hop and especially with, like with people of color, fam, you're like, nah, I'm gonna with my boys, I'm gonna go up. I'm going to blow up with the people like I came up with, and my homie's going to be my manager. You know that same old story.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That can be your story, but it's the wrong story.
No, definitely the wrong story.
You should take some responsibility as well. And unless you didn't go to school, then I don't blame you because you don't know better, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get taught some of these things in school. Some management stuff, you know, in senior primary even. Not even talking high school or whatever. Just like how to manage stuff. You do a budget or whatever, man.
Do you get taught that in public schools?
Like
budgets. We're not talking
stuff.
About...
But making a budget? I don't know.
We're not talking about...
Don't name drop schools. Don't name drop schools. Don't name drop. No, really, don't. We don't have no time to do that. Just say what the school presents, but you don't have to say the name or whatever.
Because you're wearing the jersey, yes, that's yes. Why.
Yeah, but I don't want to put any of the stuff out there. Like, now we blow up and then we're blowing them up. Come on, dog.
Ow.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
Moving on.
It's like, then name your employer then. You know what I'm saying? Same thing, dog. Separate. Anyway, but that's what I'm trying to say, Doug. You know, I just don't feel like it's... I just feel like, yeah, these guys should take more responsibility.
It's easy to say that.
Why? Because we don't have the whole story.
No, that as well. But it's easy to say that. But if you are in that...
If I was in that position...
If you're in a position where... one of your good friends, you know, is like, yeah, man, I'm gonna set you up, you know, like, let me be your manager, whatever. You really tell him no.
I'd be like, dude, what experience do you have managing?
You'd be like, nah, man, I'll take a course, I'll do something.
I would.
Got your back.
If you take a course, word, then come back after the course, fam. You know what I'm saying? But like, I can lose money right now because of you. Wanted to put me on.
Look, you're looking at it from a very rational perspective. At the moment you are surrounded by drugs, alcohol, fame, like, you know, sex, money, drugs, all that stuff, it clouds your vision. So you're like, let's all have a good time, and like, yeah, sure, you can be my manager. Like, we up right now, because you feel invisible. You feel like you are unstoppable.
Hey, dog, there's a lot of artists that don't do drugs.
Of course.
So, now what?
But not in the genre that your boy is in.
There's a lot of artists in hip-hop that don't do drugs. I mean, of course, the majority of them probably do dabble in that stuff. But, like...
No, but the thing is, hopefully he gets on the right... Not on the right. On his sustainable path.
What I'm saying is that... Who says this guy doesn't... Like, everyone's, like, blaming... Everything but him.
No, I mean, I'm not blaming everything but him, but like, I'm not denying that they might be contextual realities.
But I'm just saying, like, of course there's contextual realities, but I feel like he must give, and then he's gonna, and then allegedly, I don't know if it's for a fact, allegedly he's gonna come and tell us no, he was tired. Then you're supposed to, nah, come on, fam.
Like, if you're gonna have an excuse like that, you might not, you might as well not even try.
At least tell us you're on, you're on some like sleep, you're on some pain medicine or something.
Something.
And you mixed it with something else. Don't tell us.
Or hit us with a Solange. There was, she was like some complicated neuro. What?
Yeah.
The whole Afro punk.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with that at all, dog. But yeah, man, we haven't spoken about it. But on the airwaves, rather.
Six God.
Yeah. Scorpion.
Mm.
Has been out for, what, a week and a half?
Yeah.
A week and a half. And in its first week, it streamed over 1 billion times.
Mm.
It made, I think, like 740-something thousand sales, album sales in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Like equivalent, you know how they calculate.
Yeah, I mean, he's broken all sorts of records.
And yeah, he just recently broke, I don't know, like a really old Beatles record or something.
In terms of what?
I don't know. I just saw the headline. Yeah. It said that he broke a Beatles Beatles record, dog. I wasn't I'm not that interested to go and look at that stuff.
Yeah,
I just saw that. And yeah, man, we haven't spoken about the album yet. But
yeah, what did you think of the album?
I thought it was a good album. Like, I'm still playing it, and I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I could just pull up the track list quickly, I'll tell you the tracks that I fuck with. Where is this?
Kiki.
That's like an internet sensation now, dog. Like, yeah, doing the dance and stuff. I was looking it up. It's quite dope, actually.
No, it is. It's a dope song.
I wanted to ask you a question. Yeah, that song is dope. Yeah. What?
It's called In My Feelings.
Yeah, In My Feelings. Like, I was gonna ask, do you think they like these artists sometimes contact you know, social media influencers to be like, can you do a dance or something, like, see if it catches on or whatever? Do you think they do that?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't put it past them either.
But yeah, I don't know, it seems a bit far fetched.
It does seem far fetched, but
hey, but I mean, it's that kind of beat, that song in particular, that like, but like I enjoyed the album. Like, I put it on while I was working as the day it came out.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it. And the moment I know I'm going to enjoy an album is when I can just press play and not touch the next button and the next button and the next button.
Yeah. The thing is, it's a bit hard to do this one because of, you know, it's got two sides, the A side, the B side.
Yeah, so it's quite long.
Depending on your mood, like, you know,
24 tracks.
Like, sometimes you want to be listening to, you know, the B side, you know, feelings there, whatever. And then sometimes you want to listen to the A side. You want to listen to some
raps. I know, but I'm talking about a first time play.
Word.
Like, when I played for the first time. It's a good album. Not his best, but it's a good album. It's got side A and side B. I feel like side A has most of the good tracks in terms of lyrical content, in terms of trying to put a message through. Side B is the more sort of party, trashy side. I actually particularly enjoy the Michael Jackson track.
Me too. Some guys didn't enjoy it, but I actually
enjoyed it.
And the Ratchet Birthday. Ratchet 8 out Happy of, Birthday.
Yeah.
It's your brrrr. I'm like, fucks with it, bro.
And then on A side, 8 out of 10. I enjoy Motionless, where he reveals he's got a kid. Yeah, amazing.
Sandra's Rose
as well.
Definitely dope.
But yeah, no, it was a good album. Not his best product, but it was good. It's a bit long. There's some fillers in there. But other than that, I mean, it was a good album. It's not gonna top Take Care for me. But that's, yeah. But Take Care, I actually didn't like Take Care when it first came out, believe it or not.
I won't lie to you, dog. Of the Drake albums, like, that's probably like the one I listen to the least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't listened to that. Like, you know which one has actually aged well for me?
Which one?
Is Nothing Was the Same. That has aged.
Look, Nothing Was the Same, yeah. That's also a good one.
Like, that. And that was like, he was rapping there as well.
No, it
like,
was a very tight. It's a very. In my rankings, it's a very tight race between Thank Me Later. Not Thank Me Later. Not Thank Me Later. it was very tight race between Nothing Was the Same and Take Care. But Take Care just takes it.
I'll always be mad at Take Care though. Why? Like I really enjoyed it. And during when Take Care came out in that time, I was listening to Boss, and I was, you know, I knew the words to like most of those tracks, you know what I'm saying? But the thing that just annoyed me is that it won a Grammy for Best Rap Album. And that was the same year that Nas released, what's it called? What's that album called?
Untitled.
No. The one where he was sitting with Khaleesi's dress on his Life Is Good.
Oh, Life Is Good.
And that album was like dope for me, dog. Like I really enjoyed that album. Yeah. And I was like, this is Nas's like opportunity to win a Grammy here, dog, for Best Rap Album.
Yeah.
And they gave it to Drake. And I was like, it's not that I didn't enjoy that, but I didn't feel like it was a rap album. I didn't feel it deserved. That's why I put a bitter taste in my mouth. But I still rock with it. It was great, but like, nah, man.
Now, when Take Care initially came out, what was it? October 2011. Sorry. I didn't enjoy it. I was like, that's a bit too fragmented.
Wasn't it 2010? October 2010?
Nah, dog. 2011. I know this very well because I was in the US.
Okay, we can so Google that's it. Your answer. You know it very well because you're in the US?
Yes. Because it's going to be part of my point. I was about to make a point.
Make it, fiend. You can't just say, I know this very well because I was in the US. Okay. So what does that mean, fiend?
Yeah, 15th of November, 2011.
Okay. I remember like I was in undergrad and I was in the studio a lot of the times doing drawings and stuff. And that was like the jam that was just playing all the time. And I just thought maybe it might have been my first year, but it wasn't. And yeah, that was also the year where God Forgives, I Don't was bumping. I remember that, bro.
So when I first listened to
apples, I was like, actually, Ross has. We'll talk what. Actually, we should have an episode where just we just talk music. About music, bro. Yeah, but anyway,
true. But no, you see, the thing is, Take Care, I felt it was very fragmented. I didn't really understand the plot to it initially. Right, it came out on the 15th. I listened to it 15th, 16th. I was like, nah. And then I left for the US on the 21st. So I was working there. And, you know, it was a time I was in my fields. I was dealing with, like, you know, like with complicated relationship statuses and all that nonsense.
So you were probably in your feelings.
Yeah. So then, I mean, it just resonated. I also, like, when I got to the US, you know, the US is cool and shit, but the job was like shit. But I was listening to that album and I was just like, actually, this is the most lit album Drake has ever made. It just hit me. One day I was just like, this is it. Even when I finished working there and I went to New York for like a week, I actually went into this like raggedy ass record shop.
Yeah.
I literally bought Take Care. It was a box set.
What?
And it had a shirt. It had a YMCMB shirt. With the gold, in gold, right? I know it was that time.
Yeah.
But, and I wore that shirt to death, actually.
For real?
Yeah, like the YMCMB flaked off. You know, it was a cheap shirt.
I'm so glad I never bought a YMCMB shirt.
But yeah, Take Care. I bought the CD. It unfortunately got stolen got stolen 2014 from my car.
At least you wore it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know. But that album was it flowed so well. The emotion versus the bars, that album is peak Drake for me.
Oh, peak.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
You must beat that one. And that's saying a lot because Nothing Was the Same. A lot of people hold Nothing Was the Same, like, isn't like, that's it.
I really hold Nothing Was the Same to a high standard, dog. Like, in terms of raps, and it had the... It had
no, tracks no, no, look, for, Nothing like Was the Same is fire. I tell you, it's so close. It's like an inch difference.
Drake's catalog is impeccable, actually.
Except Thank Me Later. It was...
Thank Me Later was in that... It was in an awkward stage of transition.
Trying to transition very young that money. Fire. Yeah. So Far Gone.
See, that's the thing.
Nothing will hit, though, like the way So Far Gone did. Going through high school, going through the most.
Yeah, look, So Far Gone was the one.
Yeah, So Far Gone.
But I mean, like, yeah, your boy's got an ill catalog, dog. Yeah. What a time to be alive. Like... If you're reading this,
I remember we're jamming to what. If you're reading this, it's too late. Oh no! Actually, What a Time to Be Alive.
Like, weren't we listening to What a Time to Be Alive? And if you're reading this, when we were going to like Daisy's one time.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
we were bumping those.
No, but we were bumping that the whole summer. We were bumping What a Time to Be Alive.
Yeah, man. And remember? That thing was fire. In fact, the thing still is still fire.
Still is fire. But yeah. Anyway, let's not turn this into the Drake show.
Hey, dog. He's popping, bro.
I think let's get out of here, actually.
Wow, I definitely still have other topics.
What topic do you have?
Real quick. So the football.
France are through.
France are through to the final. Tonight is England, Croatia. I'm very, like... I don't want to say this, but I see like England might pinch
no,
it.
No, the only reason why.
I really don't want it. I really don't want that to happen.
Keep those words out of your mouth.
The thing is, Croatia is coming from back-to-back extra time things. Their legs might be tired. You can't ask Modric to do everything all the time.
This is a semi-final.
Hey, dog. You don't know, man. Maybe if they have BMT, sure. You know what I'm saying?
There's a new energy.
Hey, look. I wish I'm wrong. I really want that. I don't want England to taste. Because we're already not going to hear the end of it.
I can't deal with it. We're already not hearing the end of it.
We really won't hear the end.
Like, I can't deal. No, England must. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. I think actually this is going to be the most nerve-wracking game of the whole World Cup for me.
Probably. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, I just yeah. So damn England! I hope they don't make it through. Yeah, man.
England. But yes, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here. But yeah, just King of the Week. I think shout out to Kevin Anderson.
Kevin Anderson.
Give him his due. That guy. I mean, look, he beat one of the greatest male tennis players
in Roger Federer.
Roger Federer. And I have so much respect for Roger, and I know he does too, you know what I'm saying? And to have a South African there, shout out to him.
Yeah, it's going to be epic.
And I've never heard him say anything untoward about South Africa, so, you know, he can keep the land. And so, you know, shout out to him. I hope he does really well now and actually goes on and wins it. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good achievement for South Africa there.
Definitely.
For those of us who claim him. Shout out to him, man. I think he deserves King of the Week.
Would.
Yeah, man. But so should we get out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here again.
Alright, well, this has been your boy MZ.
And your boy Vumi.
And this has been the Much Chats Podcast. Thanks so much for listening.
Cheers.
Danke.